you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I am Haig Balian, and I am with Mark Dreyer, the China Sports Insider. And this is the China Sports Insider podcast. Today, week one of the Tokyo Games is in the books. And really, what else is there to talk about? Mark, China's been doing incredibly well this week.
Yeah, so the schedule is always front-loaded in terms of the sports that China does well at. But Gracenote Sport, which is sort of a division of Nielsen and the stats guys there, they're kind of like the gold standard when it comes to predicting the medals. And coming into the games, it looked like China was going to be pretty comfortably in second to the US, with a gap of about six over Japan. And so it was kind of, you know, not too many upsets expected there. And then as it's been coming, China's actually been doing well, but Japan's been doing even better. Japan's ratio of medals to golds is unbelievable. Like, I think two-thirds of their medals pretty much have been golds. You look at somewhere like Italy and they've got two golds and I think about 14 bronze. Like,
yeah.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
So Japan is a real threat now for China. However, it's kind of tilted a little bit back in China's favor in the last few days. But yeah, the U.S. will pick up. China still, at the moment, as we speak here on day nine, is number one.
Yeah, the China versus Japan, it's just, you know, sort of becoming the story of the games in a way. Yeah. So let's talk about just some individual results. Like today, we're talking on August 1. This morning, Beijing time, a shot putter, Gong Li Zhao, she just won gold. And that's actually quite it's a really cool story, actually.
Yes, it is. Now, you know, women's shot put, it's not, with all massive respect to her, and we'll go over her story in a second, but, you know, it's not the most glamorous event in all of the Olympics, but she is a big star in China because she was a hot, hot favorite for gold. So CCTV has been kind of promoting her relentlessly, but she has been competing for a while. In 2008, her home game, she finished fifth. Now, the record book shows she got bronze because two of the people who finished ahead of her were later kicked out for doping offenses, but she never got to celebrate that. Similar story in London at 2012. She finished fourth. Again, the worst position to finish because you don't get a medal. The record books show she got silver, but again, she didn't have a chance to celebrate. Then she comes into Rio 4 years ago. I mean, she is a veteran, and she was one of the favorites for gold, and she just said she just wasn't feeling. As soon as she got to Rio, she wasn't feeling herself. She finished fourth. That's the result that has still stood. She said she cried all the way home to the airport, you know, when she was leaving. Anyway, fast forward to another 5 years, of course, Tokyo, and she finished first. So she was, I think, all of her throws, apart from one that didn't count, all of them would have secured her first. So she was incredibly dominant.
Yeah.
And just really good to see that persistence, kind of a classic Olympic story.
You know, I saw the event this morning as well, and her throws were something like over, each one was over 20 meters.
Yeah.
And I think the closest competitor was something like 19.6. Yeah. So it was quite a dominant victory, which is really, really cool to see. Now, we talked a little bit about the China versus Japan rivalry, and that's come out a few times in the games. To China's credit, I think a lot of the athletes have been really gracious in both victory and in defeat. You saw some high-profile losses, especially in the case of one gymnast, Xiao Roteng. And that story was really interesting because he was docked 0.3 points because he didn't salute.
Yeah, for most of us who watch gymnastics just during the Olympics, we're like, it's crazy. He kind of have fist pumped several times. It looked kind of fine. And of course, people online were like, what the hell's going on? Because the Japanese guy landed out of bounds and he was only penalized a tenth of a point instead of 3/10 of a point. Now, it turns out it wouldn't have made the difference, you know, but, you know, the perception here is that Japan was getting the home crowd boost. Well, obviously no crowd, but, the hometown boost, I guess we should say. Anyway, that kind of blew up online and it was pretty unpleasant, some of the abuse that the Japanese gymnast was receiving. Now, Tencent Sports actually put out a link to a story that said, Shao Rotang was defeated by Japan's 19-year-old talent, star, kind of genius was the word. And there was such an outcry that they used that word to describe the Japanese gymnast that they had to take it down and apologize because it was a trending topic on Weibo. I mean, it was just so over the top. But like you said, the athletes themselves have been really magnificent. There's been so many examples in the sailing. The Chinese girl was celebrating with the others. We've seen it in the table tennis with Mima Ito, the 20-year-old, really good friends with one of her Chinese rivals. People online in China have been sort of taking huge delight in Mima Ito, the Japanese girl's defeat in the semifinal to the Chinese player, instead of celebrating the Chinese victory, but actually the players themselves are really friendly. So, they've had to shut down some social media accounts, some of the Japanese athletes. So it's got out of board for sure.
Yeah.
And, China, you have to say, is tolerating this because, certainly on a platform like Weibo where it controls it, they can censor stuff if they need. So
one other example of a sort of a positive sportsmanship story was, Duncan Scott in the men's individual medley 200 meters. He was beaten by Wang Cheng.
Yeah.
And his reaction to that defeat was kind of notable, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't followed too much of the detailed ins and outs, but the high profile story, of course, of the last few years was Sun Yang and Duncan Scott, the British swimmer, was one of the guys who kind of took a stand. He refused to shake Sun Yang's hand at the 2019 World Championship. So when I saw them finish first and second, I was like, oh, this is going to get kind of a bit ugly in the press conference. But it wasn't at all. In fact, Wang Shen was doing a live CCTV interview, and during the middle of it, Scott came up and congratulated, specifically stopped to say, well done, great race. And it was nice to see. And so really, the conclusion there is that actually it was just Sun Yang is he doesn't have that many friends in the swimming community within China, to be honest. Clearly in the international community as well. Like, he's had the doping offenses, and so that's why he's been the controversial athlete. But it's not an anti-China thing within swimming, which is good because, there was a danger that sort of Chinese athletes can get grouped together and say, oh, they're all dopers and so on, and we hate all these cheating Chinese. But that doesn't seem to be the case at all. It was very much a sort of specific to Sun Yang.
Right now, China is leading the medal board with 22 gold. So that really depends on how you look at the standings. I grew up thinking of the leaderboard as the total number of medals and not like just the number of gold.
Yeah.
Now I realize I was wrong.
Well, I mean, North America, the Americans and the Canadians do total number of medals.
That's right.
And they've always done that. And it's consistent.
Yeah.
I think, what's interesting is when people flip-flop. And there was a time actually in London 2012 where the UK, GB follows the official IOC way where it's total gold. But then in London, they started doing slightly better if you count by total. So the media there started flipping over in the middle of the Olympics.
Yeah, and similarly in Canada in 2010, the Vancouver Games, Canada won the most number of gold.
Gold, so that was a big deal. Yeah.
And it was a huge deal, and all of a sudden, we were in the leaderboard.
But obviously for China, there is still that obsession with gold, even though, you hear now and then, no, we need to get away from that obsession. But gold is still very much what counts. So, by the IOC, the official way, and by the Chinese way, China at the moment is number one. Now, no one's expecting they'll stay at number one because we've got track and field coming up in week two and the Americans will overtake. But if China can stay number two, that has to be seen as pretty decent.
They've had some great results. Weightlifting, five gold in weightlifting
right now.
Amazing. Shooting, three. Diving, three. I'm just looking at your website, chinasportsinsider.com, by the way.
Thanks for the plug.
Sure. Swimming, three gold, which was really, really good, actually.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick out one sport, actually a little bit under the radar there, would be rowing. They've only got one gold medal, but two bronze as well. And this is a program that has a lot of powerhouse, traditional powerhouses. China has not been one of them. But they brought in Steve Redgrave a few years back to kind of oversee the rowing program. And it looks like he's actually really had some effect here. And it's amazing what China can do if it puts a decent long-term plan in place and sticks to it. Like, it's not rocket science. But so often we see these grand plans. Football, soccer is the classic example of just stop, start, and moving backward, but basically. But rowing, you know, if they stick to that long-term vision, they can make some progress. They have all the resources in the world. They just need to use them in the right way.
And let's leave that for the ice hockey discussion later on.
Correct.
So let's go to the flip side of all this, which is the disappointment. Yeah. And there, oh man, it's hard. I cannot believe the Chinese women's volleyball team has basically crashed out of the tournament, haven't they?
Yes. So they lost their first three games and they were hoping for other results to go their way. These are the reigning champs, by the way. Probably the most famous team in China because the coach and one of their big stars, household names in China, Lang Ping, the coach, and Zhu Ting, the star spiker. But they just, you know, Zhu Ting was carrying a wrist injury, which definitely hampered her play. And it was really interesting. And I'd be interested to see if listeners have any views on this. But yeah, they finally won a game after they had already been eliminated. But this was a group stage. And they beat the Italians. And it was a good performance, 3-0. But they were jumping around like almost like they'd won the gold.
And that's like, really weird. Like, yeah.
And some you know, Chinese friends that I said was like, well, no, they were kind of showing that they were still a good team and that they were getting back. And they really needed that win. But for me, it was just quite strange.
So have you had a sense of what the disappointment has been like here or what the reaction to that loss has been?
I think one thing with the Olympics, there's so many other things going on. Yeah. It's quite easy to kind of pick up on somewhere else. And again, China's doing well. China leads the medal tables with 22 golds now. So yes, that is a big disappointment, but there's still plenty of triumphs to celebrate and still lots more to come as well. I think when it's isolated, if it's like the Volleyball World Championships or, you know, qualification for the Men's World Cup in soccer, something like that, and there's nothing else to talk about, that's when these disappointments are really bad. But I think, you know, on the flip side, there's so much other news that it kind of gets lost in the news cycle.
With the Olympics, it's not just about the sport. It's also just about the individual stories that come out. Has there been anything that's come out, just any kind of individual story that you've heard about or you've seen that has really hit you?
Yeah, actually, got nothing to do with China. So I'll if you can allow me one exception on the China Sports Insider podcast to talk about a non-Chinese story.
Let's do it.
There was a taekwondo. Did we talk about this last time?
Oh, we didn't. We talked about it off air. So let's talk about it on air.
Okay. There was a taekwondo athlete from Uzbekistan who was in the gold medal match. And so his story kind of came to the fore. He was competing in that bout 3 weeks after losing his South Korean coach. Now, the guy didn't just pass away from cancer. He was murdered. He was stabbed to death in Uzbekistan, his Korean coach, in a taekwondo-related feud. We're not exactly sure what happened. It hasn't been like a big story back in Uzbekistan media. I'm not fluent in Uzbek, but I mean, can
let's change that somehow.
The coach was stabbed to death 3 weeks, and then the guy goes and wins gold.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Hollywood script right there.
Yeah. Honestly, my head is mush right now. I feel like I've been watching sports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's been amazing. Like all of a sudden my TV had 10 extra channels devoted just to the Olympics. And I do not know what to do with my time right now, just except for watching sports. So we've been talking really only about the summer games, but there is news about the winter games, specifically about China's ice hockey team. Now, when you were on my podcast a few months ago, we did talk about this, and this has actually been one of your biggest sort of stories that you've broken on ChinaSportsInsider.com. There's some new news about this as well. What happened?
Well, it's news that we've been expecting, frankly, for months, but China has been in the process, actually, of years of trying to recruit what they call heritage players. So effectively, for ice hockey, it's North American players, Canadians and and Americans of some sort of Chinese descent. You know, it could be fully Chinese ethnically, or it could maybe kind of grow like a grandparent or a more distant relative, but a heritage player to recruit to play for Team China. But there was a bit of a block, and it's pretty long and complicated, but there was some sort of behind-the-scenes fighting. And the professional team here, Kunlun Red Star, effectively were training these guys. They were charged with the development of the Olympic team for both the men's and the women's. And then they fell out somehow with the Chinese Ice Hockey Association. And so this whole naturalization or recruitment process for these overseas players was sort of locked in a stalemate. Then I think the news got out that the Chinese team, the existing Chinese squad of just pure homegrown Chinese players, was so bad, particularly on the men's side, that they were going to get, frankly, humiliated. And I don't think that's an exaggeration at all when they play the Americans and the Canadians at next year's Olympics, that they kind of had, their hand was forced. They had to recruit these supplementary players, I guess, if you can call it that way. Sure. You know, ringers perhaps if you want, but you know, they do have some Chinese connection. And so finally this week, we got news from the Kunlun Red Star website. And I've been hearing this has been in the works for months now. And then it was basically confirmed weeks ago, but they haven't released it until this week, that these players will be playing for the Kunlun team in Russia, because there's no games being played in China this season. And then they will form the basis for the men's and women's Chinese ice hockey teams at next year's Olympics in February. So the passport issue, I think, still has to be completely finalized, but they've announced that it is happening. And so finally progress has been made.
Yeah, that's huge news. And you know, in terms of the passport issue, I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. And I think they'll, you know, they will probably find a way.
Yes. Yeah, it's the there's some definitely controversial issues there, which you don't need to necessarily go into here. But yeah. The one thing I would say is that they had this plan 4 years ago. And if they'd recruited those players and locked them in for the Chinese team, and they'd been able to get some real teamwork, they're not going to be winning any gold medals, certainly on the men's side. They're still going to be making up the numbers. But they just think about how far ahead they could have been versus now, where they just literally got 6 months to go, and they're coming in fresh and playing with their teammates sometimes for the first time. Like, they've wasted 3.5 years. And that's my frustration. We're in contrast to, like, the rowing we talked about earlier, where they've stuck to that long-term plan.
Sure. Now, the thing with ice hockey, though, is we still don't even know if the NHL is going to be here.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's wild, actually. You would have thought that by now we would know.
Yeah, there should be a decision. Well, every week we're supposed to have a decision. There should be one very soon after Tokyo, I think.
Are there any other storylines that you're watching right now?
Yeah, there's a couple, and there's still sort of distant medal hopes at this stage. But China, actually, the women's 3-on-3 basketball team got a bronze medal, which was fantastic. They're still in the mix for the main 5-on-5 basketball as well. So that would be pretty big news if they can get into the medal. I don't think they're favorites for gold, but they're still in with a shout there. And also beach volleyball, they had two pairs in the round of 16. Unfortunately, one already lost this morning to the Brazilians, but they're sort of the more famous pair of Wang and Xue, who've been on the scene for a while. They play the Australians later today, and if they can get through that game, they've actually had some great performances so far. So what I like about those sports is that, you know, China plays the numbers, right? So shooting, weightlifting, lots of gold medals on option on offer. Not massively fascinating sports, it has to be said.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got sports like beach volleyball and basketball. These are fun, globally competitive sports. And, you know, if China can get a medal in one of these, then they're really at the top of the world. This is great. It's what people want to see. Honestly, like, when you see someone win the 10-meter air rifle, does anyone really care? Sure, it's a gold medal, but, like, are people rushing to the shooting range to say, that's what I want to do with my life?
I am in awe of the number of shooting events at the Olympics. I had no idea there were so many, like, rifle and shooting events.
Yeah. Okay. We got to finish with another shooting story.
Okay.
Now, there is a difference I have discovered between the range, the rifle and the pistol events, where it's basically people trying to keep as still as possible for like 20 seconds while the viewers are falling asleep. And then suddenly there's a little
pretty
pop.
Much, yeah, exactly.
And then there's no reaction whatsoever, and then you see a little kind of score. The drama is limited, shall we say. The trap, or as I would know, like, kind of like the clay pigeon shooting.
I watch
that's
this.
That's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Not only do you have like colored you know, puffs of smoke going up, but they're playing like Red Hot Chili Peppers during the breaks.
Yeah.
And then there was this great story yesterday with San Marino, population 33,000. They've been at 25 Olympic Games, winter and summer, in their history. Until this week, they'd never won a single medal. But then one of their shooters in the trap event, she won a bronze in the individual. And then they were in the final against Spain for the gold medal, the mixed team event. And they ended up with silver, but two medals for San Marino. I mean, it was that's a great Olympic story.
That's what I love about the Olympics. I mean, it's just the drama. I was on the edge of my couch watching this event. And I was like, come on, San Marino.
Yeah, for something you'd never heard of a week previously. Yeah,
exactly. It was awesome.
So that's kind of it for this week. How we're looking at trying to get two out of each week during the Olympics, right?
During the Olympics, two a week. So today's Sunday, and then we will also record Thursday, and I'll try to get that up the day of. However, think of this as a soft launch.
Yeah, we're working on something a little bit further down the line, so thanks for listening, and please send in any feedback if you have. You can catch us on Twitter. To be honest, I've been spending half my days on Twitter at the moment. There's just so much going on.
And how can people find you, Mark?
Dryer China, so Dreyer China, as you would expect.
Exactly. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back on Thursday.